This edition of the Rand Report will begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week of March 16, 2006, this is the Rand Report, now being heard Wednesdays on acbradio.org. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. CQ Communications Incorporated has announced the release of its HF Operator Survival Guide. So what is it? Rand's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, posed that question to Rich Moseson, W2VU, editor of CQ Amateur Radio, CQVHF, and Popular Communications magazines.
We prepared this in response to the FCC's rule changes, both in eliminating the code requirement for the higher classes of license and in opening a portion of the HF bands to all hams, including technicians. Basically, we're now dealing with over 300,000 licensed hams who suddenly find themselves with at least some access to HF operating and a not incredibly difficult multiple choice test away from having significant HF operating privileges by upgrading to general. But operating on HF, if you're new at it, can be pretty intimidating. How do you know which band is best at what time of day, what time of year, what time of the sunspot cycle? You know, you get on 10 meters at night now and you wonder where everybody is. For that matter, you get on 10 meters during the day now, and you wonder where everybody is. So what we prepared is a basic getting started guide to operating on HF. The goal is to help people who are new to the low bands to be successful and to have fun from the start.
This is a 16-page publication available for just a couple of bucks. What is actually in it?
We've got several articles within it. We have a welcome from me that starts it off. Then John Doerr, K1AR, our contesting editor, has the first introductory article called HF, Your Window to the World, and it's a description of each of the HF bands in brief and what you can expect on those bands at this time of the sunspot cycle. John also does the second article called The Basics of HF Operating, where he talks about things like managing frequency use, avoiding interference, looking for a vacant frequency, timing of how to get into a pile-up and work somebody, how and why to use phonetics, an introduction to split frequency operation. If you're going to do any DXing on 40 meters, you have to understand how split frequency operating works. A lot of times on pile-ups, even off of 40 meters, the operators will be trying to spread out the people who are calling by listening on different frequencies. Then we have another contributing editor, Gordon West, WB6NOA, with an article on choosing your first HF rig, basically how to make the decision on features versus budget and what's best for you. We have a basic article on antennas, which was written a little while ago for a project that we had planned several years back that never got off the ground, by Joe Carr, K4IPV, who's now a Silent Key. But nothing changed in terms of basic antennas, so there was no reason not to use that article. The final article I wrote is called the HF Activity Guide, and it talks about what you'll be hearing on HF, some of the specialized modes that you're likely to hear. Slow scan television, AM, FM on 10 meters, keyboard modes, digital voice. Then a description of basic on-air activities such as DXing, contesting, rag chewing, nets in public service, award chasing, and a little bit about QSLing. And then we finish up with a chart of the new sub-bands on the HF bands, who gets to operate where and what modes. That covers the 16 pages. It's a nice little compact guide that hopefully will be helpful to a lot of people. We haven't discussed any alternate formats yet. For example, for a blind ham, we basically just got this off the ground in the print form and are concentrating on trying to get it out to as many people as possible. It's something to consider, particularly if we can get a volunteer to read it on audio. Efforts to get things brailled are difficult today. The CQHF Operator Survival Guide is being sold through the magazine for $2 each. If you're running a class or a licensing session and you want to get a bunch of them, we can work out a discount. We're also trying to provide them as a complimentary promotion for people who are responding to a subscription promotion. If they subscribe, we'll send them one of these for free. At HamFest that we attend, people who get licenses or upgrade at the time will be able to get one from us as well.
Rich Moseson, W2VU, editor of CQ Amateur Radio, CQVHF, and Popular Communications magazines, discussing CQ Communications' new HF Operator Survival Guide with Hap Holly, KC9RP. Up next, we'll bring you a guest commentary written and voiced by Mark Thompson, WB9QZB. This is The Rain Report, being subsidized by Merle Heinlein, KB9NOH. You'll find his bio on QRZ.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
This is Mark, WB9QZB, with another Bites from QZB editorial entitled, Repeater Frequencies, A Vast Wasteland, or Until Death Do Us Part. In 1961, FCC Commissioner Newton Minow proclaimed in a speech to the National Association of Broadcasters that television had become a vast wasteland because of the poor content and programming on television. On our VHF and UHF repeater subbands, they too have become a vast wasteland, not for what is on them, but for what is not on them. In any major city, put your scanner or radio into scan mode, scanning the 2-meter and 70-centimeter FM repeater subbands. What do you hear? Virtually nothing. That's right, nothing. No QSOs of any sort. If you get lucky, you might hear a repeater or two ID, and maybe, just maybe, a real honest-to-God QSO in progress. If the repeaters aren't closed, you could try keying them up. IDing, of course. What you hear back in response? Nothing. In some cases, immediately after you give your ID, another ham will call someone, but seemingly ignore the fact that you just gave a call yourself. How can this be? When you look in the AR repeater directory, you will see dozens of listings for repeaters in your area. When you try to key up some of these repeaters, many won't even key up, even if you use the correct tone access code, and seem to be non-existent. Yet your local analog FM repeater frequency coordination organization will tell you that all frequencies are coordinated, and that they have a multi-year waiting list to coordinate even more analog FM repeaters. What's going on here? Well, in most areas, it seems that once you get a repeater coordination, you have it until the end of your natural life, regardless of how you make use of the frequencies, as long as you send in your membership form and dues to the analog FM repeater coordination organization every year. If you approach your coordination organization and ask them how a band can be completely allocated to repeater coordinations and yet have no activity, they might tell you that they aren't in the business to actually verify if the frequencies they coordinated years or in some cases decades earlier are actually being used. In many cases, the repeaters are at hams' houses or virtually unusable due to low antenna height and provide no real useful function other than to stroke the ego of the repeater owner who can now claim he operates a repeater. In the 1970s, as demand for repeater frequencies increased, national band plans were created. In most areas, groups of repeater owners got together to form local or regional coordination organizations to alleviate potential interference. These organizations also created band plans and listings of coordinated repeaters. In the 1980s, when packet radio burst forth onto the scene, the new mode needed frequencies. In most areas, analog FM repeater coordinators weren't interested in coordinating packet frequencies and usually left the local packet club to their own devices, as long as they used packet on unused simplex frequencies and didn't use traditional analog FM pairs. In the mid-1990s, packet radio use declined due to both the advent of the Internet and the stagnation of packet radio technology. However, recently, new digital technologies have come out of the scene, such as PSK31, digital voice, and high-speed digital data. These new technologies will need frequencies to operate on. Digital voice repeaters such as D-Star or APCO P25 need real frequency pairs, just as analog FM repeaters do. However, the difference is that digital voice is much more spectrum efficient. D-Star, for example, uses a 6.25 kHz channel, and APCO P25 uses a 12.5 kHz channel, whereas traditional analog FM uses a 20 kHz channel. One could put 2 or 3 D-Star digital voice repeaters in the frequency space used by one analog FM repeater. In addition, digital voice repeaters have a 15% greater usable range. This is because digital voice has no path noise. And at the point weak signal analog FM is noisy and virtually uncopyable, digital voice is still crystal clear. The frequency coordinators claim available frequencies in VHF and UHF are scarce and in demand. However, if you approach many coordinators and ask them how they plan to handle digital voice repeater coordinations, in many cases they will tell you that they'll figure it out once someone makes a request for a frequency pair. Once someone does make a request for a digital voice repeater pair, they are often told that they may need to wait several years for a coordination until the prior requests for analog FM repeaters are satisfied. Recently, hams have been asking the FCC about digital voice technology. The FCC has said that a repeater is a simultaneous transmit and received signal. Since digital voice repeaters have an inherent delay between received and transmitted signal, some hams who have had a difficulty getting a repeater frequency pair coordinated for the digital system. Take this to mean it's not a repeater and doesn't need coordination. If repeater frequencies are truly scarce, then repeater coordinators should be recommending to the prior applicants of analog FM repeaters that if they resubmit a request for a spectrum-efficient digital repeater instead of a non-spectrum-efficient analog FM repeater, that they will be given priority. This approach would encourage hams to advance their use of technology. In the mid-1990s, the NFCC, the National Frequency Coordinators Council, was formed. It was hoped at the time that the NFCC would address the strategic issues of spectrum management and how to incorporate new technologies into existing band plans. Unfortunately, the only thing the NFCC has accomplished is to hold elections every 2 years, seemingly stroking the egos of the officers who are elected. So what can we as hams do? First, we can start using the valuable bands we have. We can also start identifying local FM repeaters that are either not on the air or virtually unusable, and demand that our local frequency coordination organization begin decoordination of those frequencies to make way for more efficient and progressive use of those frequencies by new digital technologies, not just re-coordinating yet to more analog FM repeaters. In every other aspect of wireless communication, including commercial broadcast, cellular, and public safety, the migration of analog FM to digital has not only begun, but in some cases is nearly complete. Yet we hams are stuck using 40-year-old analog FM repeater technology. We need to hold our local repeater coordination organizations accountable and make sure they find ways to make frequencies available for these new digital technologies, which over time will become predominant even on ham radio. More importantly, we need to embrace new digital technologies, such as digital voice, like we embraced SSB 50 years ago, FM 35 years ago, and packet radio 20 years ago. We need to be the leaders in communication technology and not stuck in the past. Thanks for listening. 73, this has been Mark, WB9QZB, for RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network.
Opposing viewpoints to Mark Thompson's editorial are welcome. Send them to RAIN's founder producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, to Hap1P at therainreport.com. That's Hap at therainreport.com. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990 through 2007 RAIN, all rights reserved. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. This is RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network.